Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So in the saga that has been the Republican National Convention, you may remember they moved from North Carolina because they wanted to have their big shindig in person without masks and without any of that crummy social distancing and all that stuff on our hands. They wanted a good old-fashioned shoulder-to-shoulder, screaming and spittling all over each other convention. And when the governor of North Carolina said, no, not going to happen, they thought, Jacksonville, Florida, they're crazy. The governor there is mindless. Let's go there. Except the mayor of Jacksonville says, nope, got to have masks. Then they decide, hey, let's go outside. You know, a bunch of old rich white guys sitting out in the August heat. Yeah. Well, now today the RNC is saying that they're going to scale back. They're going to scale back the convention. They're thinking about roughly, but maybe 2,500 people, not the 7,000 that they were planning on. And I got to tell you, I think that number is going to dwindle because a lot of rich old white guys are not going to want to sit outside in the heat. And outside of that, they're probably not going to want to get into Florida at all, because they're probably not going to want to get sick and die. Just a thought. So, you know, hey, maybe this is a sign that the GOP can learn. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the big news of the day, also the conventions, I've asked our good friend David Yankovic to come talk with us. He's a fantastic digital strategist, one of my key go-to guys in that world. David, thanks for taking time for us.
I know. They're garbage. I mean, they 4 years of this. 4 years, they haven't done anything at all for anything. They haven't listened to medical advice. They haven't done anything right in any of this stuff. And now they're doing it because it's the convention and it's them. And they're afraid that, you know, turnout's going to be low. Or come on. I mean, the reason why they're pulling this back is not because they give any crap at all about attendance. They're coronavirus safety. They're scaling this back because people don't want to go.
Yep. And smart on them for not wanting to go. Look, we've already decided we're not sending our kids back to school no matter what in the fall until we find out that things are safe. And, if you're an old white guy, the last place you should be is in Florida.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, too, you know, is, I mean, I've seen polling a lot in the last couple months, really, where that tide has been changing for the Republican Party. They are having a lot of trouble with the old reliable voters that show up, you know, over 65 and, are ready to, vote every single election, primary, city, state, everything. They're really worried about coronavirus, and they're really starting to abandon ship a little bit on Trump. And we're starting to see those numbers kind of dwindle. Trump isn't building a coalition. He's losing one.
No, and especially, when you look at Florida's, things are just every day there's more bad news and it's only getting worse. And, to have Trump go there and do this only highlights the fact that he's such a failure. I mean, if you remember the Tulsa rally, everyone was saying, you shouldn't have the Tulsa rally. It's going to be bad. We now find out that the governor got coronavirus. I wonder where he got it from. And Herman Cain, you remember the pizza guy?
Oh, yeah.
Herman Cain's got the corona. And evidently, they're trying a new treatment with him, which generally means, the old stuff ain't working.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too, about Florida is, I think it was earlier today or a couple days ago, maybe. I can't remember anymore because all the days blend into the same during this pandemic. But 1 in 3 children in Florida, and I don't remember what county it was, have coronavirus, and they're carrying it. And a lot of it is symptomless. And so 33% of children have it. So, yeah, let's open schools back up. Yeah. Let's get all the kids infected and then send them home to grandma.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was actually 4 or 5 of the most populous counties, Dade being one of them, Palm Beach. And I don't remember off the top of my head, but it was like 4 or 5 of the more populous ones that you go, geez, that is an enormous number. And you're right. Maybe they don't get sick because this is what we keep hearing. Well, the kids are resilient. They can handle it. Yeah. But mom and dad might not be able to. And how bad will it be when we got a bunch of kids who made it through, but their parents died off?
And there's that too, but there's also the long-term ramifications if a child does get it. If they get it and they have symptoms like lung damage, they have breathing problems. I mean, it ravages your body. Like, when they say that the cases are no longer there or they're solved, like, there's been 3 million cases and we have, 2.5 million or whatever it would be that, are good now and they've gotten better, that means that you got out of the hospital and were allowed to go home. on a ventilator with a breathing machine for the rest of your life. You might be 29 years old sitting with a breathing machine with you for the rest of your life. I mean, all of this, just what coronavirus does is, like, it feels like it picks the weakness in your body and attacks it. And for kids, you know, that could be devastating. We're starting to see kids get it and that happening now. And this thing keeps also getting new strains and you know, really multiplying in different ways. And I mean, it's really unbelievable how fast this thing changes. So, like, it adapts to everything.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is I don't know if you saw Steve Schmidt today. He was on MSNBC. And he basically just lit into Trump. But, you know, the one quote that he had that just, you know, just resonated with me on a bunch of levels. He said, we're a national laughingstock. The president's a national laughingstock. When you ponder that the richest and militarily most powerful country in the world, the country with the world's leading research universities, the most advanced math and science country in the world, that we've brought low by conspiracy theories on cable news networks, on talk radio, by internet trolls, by a president who refuses to read and do his homework, refuses to listen to medical experts, who only cares about himself, not the American people, cares only about his reelection. The American people have been gaslighted, lied to. And you go, we are a national laughingstock. The rest of the world seems to be able to figure this out, but we are supposedly the richest, most powerful, and, well, obviously the smartest. But this is tearing us apart.
Oh, it's absolutely tearing us apart. And, you know, John is a really brilliant strategist. I got to give him credit, because in the South, they don't want to be embarrassed. That is the worst feeling. You know, in every Southern state, like, that is, because there's always the jokes, and there's everybody kind of pointing fingers at him, you know, and making derogatory comments about it. So, like, and all, of course, too, all their politicians are ridiculous. Almost all their politicians, I should say, are ridiculous. We have some good ones in the South, too. But, you know, so Steve, knowing that is, I mean, first off, it's true. We are the laughing stock of the world, and that makes it more powerful. But he also knows what everybody else knows, which is that the South does not like to be embarrassed. And that is how we're going to win the South in this election, because that's the message right there. Boom. You know, we're not going to, aren't you tired of being embarrassed by this guy? Like, come on. Really?
No, and I'm hoping that it filters down to not just this guy, but all of the people who have been his apologists. And for me, that means, you know, you got to take the Senate. That means all of those Republicans who sat by and did nothing during the impeachment that we now find out, thanks to John Bolton's book, and where the hell was he when it mattered, that everything was true. Every bit of it was true, and then some. In fact, as Bolton said here on the program, you know, it's, you know, it's malpractice. It's impeachment malpractice that they didn't impeach him for more things. And yet you had all these senators who stood by idly and did nothing.
Oh, it's even worse than that. It's, you know, they stood by and did nothing, but they're a part of it. Like, there's no question that a lot of the senators who are out there, like, I mean, even in the House, I mean, it, you know, if you look at the, you know, the House Minority Leader, he said in 2015, I'm pretty sure that Russia is paying Trump, or Putin's paying Trump. Now he's King Mr. Trump. You know, I love this guy, and wrapped his arms around him. He's worse than Speaker Ryan was. Like, honestly, like, maybe I should have went and challenged him when I ran, but it's unbelievable. And that's what we're facing. And the thing is you're exactly right. And that's what I keep tweeting about, too. And I keep telling everybody, keep your eye on this election. Don't listen to the polls. Get through this. But then after this, we got a lot of politicians to weed out of the government who are basically Trump apologists, or even worse, and, you know, in sync with them on all this stuff.
No, this is the moment where I really think the Republican Party has to cease to exist. You know, maybe there's something else, but they're at this point, they're a death cult.
Yeah, I thought the same thing in 2016. The first time I ever came on your show, I wrote an article called "Is This the End of the GOP?" that went very viral, and you let me on. My first interview. And that wasn't true. Donald Trump won. You know, we got a government full of justices and people on the courts and everything else that are radically right-wing. Like, we did not win that election. And I thought it was the end for the GOP going into that election, because they were so racist, they were so extreme. But it wasn't. And so I'm not counting them out. But on the other side of this, like, it's up to all of us to make it happen. We have to get out there, register voters, and we can't stop. 2020 passes, we got to get ready for 2022,
right,
and 2024. And I know that, like, we've been doing this a really long time, but this is our lives, and if we give them an inch, they're going to kill us.
No, you're absolutely right. But here's the thing. I mean, you hit on it. You know, if we still don't know what's going to happen this November. I'm looking at this Supreme Court decision in Florida that, you know, basically put Jim Crow back in play, and a way to steal the Florida election. And we have no idea what other games they're up to. I fear that, you know, with enough of this shenanigans, maybe we do get Trump for another 4 years. And as Steve Schmidt said, life as you know it will never go back to the way it was if he wins four more years. And I agree with him.
I don't agree with him at all. I think if Trump wins, it's the end of the freaking republic. I really do. I can't see him in 4 years in this country. What he's done in 4 years already, if he gets another four more years, I don't think this country constitutionally is going to break. I mean, it's a criminal enterprise. They're doing a smash and grab every day. Every time we see anything, it's ridiculous. I mean, just like pardoning Stone, like all of this stuff that he's doing, and no rule of law matters anymore at all. Like, they have killed the justice system already. Like, that's done right now. Like, and you can argue with me all you want to about that. Yeah, I'll get arrested if I do something. But if Trump and his people around him do anything, he can just pardon them and commute their sentences and do whatever. And he can, you know, and that's the problem here. And so the justice system doesn't work. It's not fair. And it's disappropriate anyway, or disproportionate, because what's happening with Black Lives Matter, you know, in the black communities throughout this country. So, I mean, I don't agree. I think that's the end of the republic, because I cannot see us sustaining constitutionally, not even about the whole everything else, just constitutionally, I don't think we can sustain another 4 years of what he's doing.
No, I think that's what he was saying. He was saying that, you know, there's no going back to the way things were if he's reelected. There's, you know, he was very clear, like you. He didn't take it as far as you did, and I agree with you. But he was saying, no, this is going to be bad. We can't reelect this guy, which is, you know, my fear is that the people go, well, we can't. We're going to anyway.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. This is my hope. In the last election, he won with, 25% of the vote total. And Hillary had about 25.2% of the vote. Only half, you know, of that. You know, it wasn't, it was basically Trump won with one quarter of registered voters. Now, if everybody shows up in this election,
right,
we'll have a freaking landslide. So let's all show up. Like, vote no matter what. I'm going to stand in line if I have to, even if I get COVID to vote this guy out.
I'm going to just mail my ballot in. Thanks very much. I'm not going to get sick, but I will make sure my ballot gets in there. And that's why he's here in Pennsylvania, suing the governor here in Pennsylvania, because the governor put, you know, boxes out in front of the election office that you could drop your ballot off and didn't have to mail it.
Yeah, why would we want to make voting easier when we can gerrymander and suppress the vote so that, you know, corruption can win again?
Yeah, it's really just insane. But, you know, here's the thing. While we're talking about all of this stuff, there's so much going on. I don't know if you saw the story today that, you know, us, the U.S., the U.K. and Canada is accusing Russia of attempting to steal our coronavirus research. You know, they're basically hacking us all the time. And, you know, this is just another one of those little attacks where, you know, we just don't seem to ever respond.
We never respond, ever. We have bounties on our troops. No one's even, that's not even a news story. They're talking about beans at the Oval Office. Literally, we have anchors on the evening news and in the national news complaining about the president with beans. And you know why he did that? So no one would talk about Russian bounties on American troops. And no one would talk about Russia interfering with COVID information and what's going on there with us in the UK. But Trump knows what he's doing. He's a master media manipulator. He said it when he ran for office. You know, he said, no one manipulates the media better than I do. And that's what's happening right now.
Yeah.
And exactly today with all of that breaking, I mean, that's not even the worst thing they're doing. You know, I mean, there's bounties on American troops right now. And the president of the United States believes Putin or whatever's happening there. And there is no, like, oversight. There's no nothing. We can't say anything about it. And our media isn't even covering it.
No, and the thing is you know, because I've had a bunch of people say, no, that's not true. You know, so-and-so said it's not true. I'm going, even let's argue it might not even be true. Even the just the suggestion would make you delve into this like no other. And I don't buy any of his statement that he didn't know. Because when I asked John Bolton point blank, I said, you know, did you march that into his office? And did you tell him? He said, well, I can't tell you national security things, but Susan Rice wrote an op-ed that said that she would have marched right in there if it were her. And he said, I agree with her. So for me, that's pretty much saying, yeah, I told him. He just wasn't listening or didn't care.
And you know what, though? It also doesn't matter because it was in a presidential daily briefing.
Yeah, we got a guy who doesn't.
You have to read it. President Bush, he didn't read the presidential daily briefing, and 9/11 happened. Trump, it doesn't matter. I'm not giving you a pass on that because you didn't read the briefing. You don't get extra, you know, credit. Like, this isn't school where you can be like, sorry, I didn't know I had an assignment. Like, people are dying. And that's the problem here. And on all of it with Trump and what he's doing, like, this used to matter. Soldiers used to matter so much to everybody, especially the Republicans. Like, that's the reason why, like, initially, for me, when I joined the military when I was younger and, you know, everything else there, that I appreciated the Republicans so much because, you know, when you're in there, you see them all the time more. And now, I mean, look, John McCain, what he's doing to troops, there's, you know, immigrants here who have been working for our country and bronze stars and heroism, and they're deporting them. Like, they don't care about the troops. Like, Trump does not care. And also, none of the Republicans care. And we know that now because they wouldn't be doing the crap that they're doing if they did.
No, you're absolutely right. Last thing I wanted to ask you about, had a little Twitter snafu the other day. Evidently, a bunch of rich and powerful people got their accounts hacked. Not sure how that happens all at once. Any thoughts?
I have no idea how that happened, but I know that Twitter is garbage. I know that I use Twitter and I'm there, but the way that they handle security is terrible. Everything. And it's easy to get hacked. It's easy to, I mean, there really isn't a mainframe to do that. And if you have a problem, have you ever tried to report somebody?
Like, no.
You can report somebody 6,000 times. You're not going to get anywhere. I think Twitter has like a staff of like 50 people or something because there's nothing. It's all automated. So, I mean, what happened the other night? I can't say anything because I don't know. But my guess on this would be maybe that's not, you know, the Bitcoin hackers. Maybe that's Russia's first attempt to shut down this stuff. I don't know. And, you know, we've seen this before, though. You know, I mean, and it's always Democrats. It's never Republicans. You ever notice that? And, you know, last night, I mean, it was the celebrities and it was Joe Biden's accounts and it was that stuff. But no Republicans got hit. I don't know what's going on. I really don't. But, you know, Jack Dorsey and Twitter and the way that they operate and do everything, you know, it's unbelievably terrible. And they have no care to make it better. Just like with the white supremacists on Twitter. You know, there's, you know, Nazis everywhere. There's anti-Semitism. There's nastiness. There's hatred. There's foulness. And Twitter does nothing because they can't. They'd have to get rid of 80% of the Republican Party officials if they wanted to get rid of the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists and the KKK online there. And that's my problem with Twitter. They aren't consistent. They don't do this stuff right. And now it's costing us. I mean, there's still people who are locked out of their accounts.
Yeah, I mean, it's nuts. And because for a moment, I thought I was one of them because I couldn't tweet anything for hours yesterday. And, you know, it was just going, uh-oh, here's trouble.
Yeah, I mean, that was the same for me. I'm like, oh, this is really bad.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if I was going to be able to get on or what happened. And, you know, and that's the problem, too. The lack of communication. They posted a thread. That's all they did.
Yeah.
You know, there's no, like, push notification, like, hey, sorry that this happened. We're fixing this. And they have the ability to do that. They have the ability to, you know, send emails or text messages or whatever. They chose not to.
But yeah, right.
Most people didn't even know what was going on.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, David, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Rick.
Anytime.
Talk soon.
Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.